Okay, the fastest 2 hours in radio rolls on right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, as we are powered by our good friends at Quicken Loans, and all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now that's progressive. Time now to head to the NFC East and zero in on the Philadelphia Eagles as they get set for their game on Sunday against the Redskins. They got a noon kickoff. Time to open up the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. We're going to welcome in Mr. Ruben Frank, co-author of his new book, The Philadelphia Eagles Playbook, Inside the Huddle for the Greatest Plays in Eagles History. Good evening, Ruben. Nice to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, we may be down here in Houston, Texas, in the Texans territory, but we definitely want to get an update on the Eagles to start off our conversation. They picked up their first win of the season against the Jets after dropping their first two games. What are your early impressions?
Well, it's kind of the opposite of what everyone expected. We all expected a world-class offense and a defense that was really going to struggle early to find itself, a lot of new faces. And that's pretty much what it's been for Chip Kelly's first 2 years. Great offense, top five offenses both years, and bottom five defenses. But somehow it's all flipped around. The defense has been carrying them. They have the number one rush defense in the league. The secondary has been terrific. But the offense just can't move the ball at all. They're in the bottom two or three in every category. They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. So I'll tell you what, you never know in the NFL, and this year has been proof of that, because the complete opposite of what we expected has happened, and Sam Bradford just has been unable, after missing the last year and a half, unable to get in any kind of rhythm. The running game's been sputtering. The offensive line's been up and down. They've dropped more passes than any team other than those Houston Texans, and it's just been kind of the opposite of what we expected. So Sunday, certainly in Washington, will be very interesting, because the Redskins are kind of a similar team with a good defense, very good defense, and an offense that's been up and down. So the two similar teams will match up, and one of them will be 2-2, and one will be 1-3.
Right. Quarterback Sam Bradford, will he find success in Chip Kelly's offensive system?
Well, based on what we've seen through three games, he's got a long way to go. And, you know, he just hasn't looked comfortable. He looks like a guy who is trying to get rid of the ball very quickly. He looks like a guy who's not comfortable in the pocket. He looks like a guy who's rushing his progressions and dumping the ball off to the backs before he really looks down the field. He looks like a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, and he looks like a guy who's coming off two ACLs. And you can't have that. You can't play football like that, being skittish and being afraid to really stand in the pocket and wait for your entire progression and look for guys who are open down the field. So from what we've seen through three games, it's going to be very, very hard. You know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks play well in this offense, from Michael Vick to Nick Foles to Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
But so far, Sam Bradford just has not been able to replicate what those guys did.
Well, he's going to have to try to replicate that offensive success. I mean, the Eagles had the first two seasons, fifth in the league in total offense and third in points per game in 2014. And it's not easy, obviously, coming back from a knee injury. But love for you. Hey, we're talking about Sooners, Sam Bradford. But what about DeMarco Murray? Give us an update on him.
Well, DeMarco practiced today on Thursday. He practiced. We talked to him after practice, and
right.
He says he's feeling better each day.
Okay.
And you know, this has been the story of his career. He's a brilliantly talented guy, but he does get banged up, and you know, he's coming off the worst two games of his career. Very interesting, and I'll tell you what, the history of running backs with that kind of workload, 497 touches last year, is not good. With only a couple exceptions, John Riggins and Curtis Martin, guys with that kind of workload just don't succeed the next year. So are we seeing that? Are we seeing the effects of almost 500 touches? It was the sixth most in history. Or are we just seeing a new running back and a new scheme with new offensive linemen? He's certainly coming from a place where they had maybe the best O-line in the business. For whatever reason, he just hasn't been able to get going. 21 carries for 11 yards through two games is just hard to believe for a guy who ran for 1,845 yards last year. It's just been nowhere for him to run. And certainly if he does play Sunday, especially with Ryan Matthews running for over 100 yards against the Jets, be really, really interesting to see how the workload is spread out between the two of them, because right now Ryan Matthews has the hot hand. But DeMarco Murray has the big contract, so it'll be fascinating to see who gets the ball.
Ruben, I want to get your thoughts on Chip Kelly. It's his third season with the Eagles, and his short tenure as head coach has been anything but dull. He's obviously created a lot of curiosity and interest with all the changes that took place in the offseason. He turned off some folks with some of the decisions that were made. What's your belief in his plan?
I think he's an incredibly smart guy who, considering he never spent a day in the NFL before he got here as a coach, as a scout, as a player, in any role, and then he comes in 2013, he takes over a team that was 4-12 and lost 11 of its last 12 games and was getting blown out every week, and he goes 10-6 to win the division with really a roster that had given up the year before. That really showed me a lot. And then he comes back, he goes 10-6 last year, and then looks at the roster and says, you know, we were 10-6, but we have a long way to go to be able to compete with the Seahawks and the Packers, the best in the NFC, and he shakes up the roster again. So he's a guy with an incredible sense of what players work in his system and what different players' strengths and weaknesses are and how to kind of match up his scheme to what his players do well. I know he turns off a lot of people because he does things differently and because he's a college coach. I think the old school NFL people want to see these college wonder kinds fail just because they're different, and I guess they challenge the conventional wisdom. But the stuff that he's preaching makes sense. It's just basic stuff about nutrition and sleep and preparation and stretching and flexibility. I mean, it's nothing earth-shattering here. It's all just common sense stuff. He's just kind of codifying it and taking it one step farther than maybe other coaches have. He's a very smart guy. I just think that this team's going to be successful at some point with Chip Kelly running the show.
Chip Kelly with two 10-win seasons that you were talking about in 2013, 2014. Can the Eagles, though, can they ultimately have success in the playoffs? What are your expectations with that?
Well, yeah, I think that's the big question. You know, this is a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game since 2008 when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback and Jim Johnson was the defensive coordinator, and Andy Reid was running the show. So it's been a long time, and ultimately it comes down to the quarterback. And they've gone through a bunch of quarterbacks since Donovan was here. They had Kevin Cobb, and they had Michael Vick, and Nick Foles, and Sanchez, and now Sam Bradford. And I think what this team needs, it's no secret, it's what every team needs to make a run at a championship. It's a talented young quarterback, and it's just so hard to find that Aaron Rodgers, that Tom Brady, you know, that guy that can take you to the next level. There's just not many of those guys. And for the most part, you know, some of these guys get drafted late, like Brady, but you really need a pretty high draft pick to find these guys, and the Eagles never seem to have that because they're always winning their 9, 10, 11 games. So that's the one thing they need. They need a quarterback. I don't think it's Sam Bradford. I think it's the big challenge facing Chip Kelly right now is somehow finding a way to get a young quarterback he can build around without having a top 10 draft pick, and it's going to be hard to do. But I think once he has that piece in place, I think really the sky's the limit for him.
You've been listening to the voice of Ruben Frank, the co-author of his new book, The Philadelphia Eagles Playbook, Inside the Huddle for the Greatest Plays in Eagles History. I cannot believe time has flown by so quickly. Give us a quick hit on the book and where the listeners can go and get a copy.
Well, we were at the Super Bowl in 2004 having dinner one night with Mike Quick, the great five-time Pro Bowl Eagles wide receiver. And he has the record for longest catch in NFL history. He had caught a 99-yard touchdown against the Falcons in the mid-1980s. I think it was 1984. And we were talking about the play sitting at dinner at the Super Bowl, and I asked him to diagram the play on a napkin, and he ended up showing us how the play evolved, and we ended up talking about the play, and I said, that'd be a really good book if we could just kind of get into the greatest plays in Eagles history and how they evolved and what they meant to the players who were part of them and, mm-hmm. you know, looking back at them. So Mark Eckel, the writer from, at the time, the Trenton Times and NJ.com now, we started talking about, let's do a book, and we started researching the greatest plays ever, and that was one of them, Mike's 99-yard touchdown. That's how the idea got started, just kind of taking a fresh look at the greatest moments – and the greatest plays in Eagles history. We went back to the 1949 championship season and talked to a guy, Al Wistard, who was a nine-time All-Pro in the 40s, and he's still alive and has a great recall, great memory of those plays. And we went right up to the current, or up to last season, a couple plays from last year. So we talked to over 100 former players, players from other teams, and it was really amazing to me how much detail these people remembered of, of specific moments, you know, that were 10, 20, 30, and in some cases like 60 years ago, and they remembered every detail, you know, who was on their right, who was on their left, who, you know, how the play evolved. And with some of the current players, we were able to watch films of the plays with them, which was really interesting to see their perspective from the outside. So I think it's a really fun book, and it's kind of like an Eagles history book, with a lot of good pictures, and it was fun to do. And, you know, maybe someday we'll do the 50 worst plays in Eagles history.
Well, there's great photographs in the book. Of course, it's titled The Philadelphia Eagles Playbook, Inside the Huddle for the Greatest Plays in Eagles History. And as Ruben was talking about, current and former Eagle players and coaches gave generously of their time and their memories. It's all in there, and you definitely want to go out and get a copy of it. Your first time on the show, we appreciate you dropping by. Thank you, Ruben.
Anytime. You got it.
A great guest. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR.